Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. So we're back. It's Wednesday, November 3rd. Today we're talking about angels. Let's talk more about them and talk about, there's lots of things to talk about with angels. There's many levels of angels with their help and guidance, so their connection to God. Most people have their own little ways of explaining the connection back and forth, that kind of thing. Plus, we also want to hear about your stories as well. We also, throughout the course of the show, you want to call in. We're doing free psychic readings and angel readings. So give us a call, talk in. We are ready to listen to you. And so let's get with it right now. And let's take one caller. Caller one. Hello? Okay. Hello?
Are you talking to me?
Yes. Caller one. Area code. The phone number, Chucky's come up as 111111, so.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if it was me. My name is Gabriel, okay. and I just wanted to see if he had any messages for me from my angels.
Okay, ask the question again.
I just wanted to see if he had any message for me from my angels.
Any messages from you, from your angels?
For me, yeah.
Okay. Huh. It's been a crazy day, too. What's the situation, Gabriel? What's the situation yourself? Do you communicate with your angels yourself on a regular basis?
I try to.
Because, I mean, the biggest thing I get the most is the idea of connecting and one thing I keep picking up the most, because it seems like there's a lot of energy around that, is that just for you to sit there and learn how to communicate with angels.
I feel them, but do they feel that I'm going to make a better connection?
Well, Gabriel, if they wasn't, they wouldn't be prompting me to tell you to get that communication going on. So therefore, they definitely have confidence that you can do it. I'm not sure if you believe in past lives and that kind of stuff, but it seems like you've had connections before in previous lives where they were very strong and vivid, and you basically, from two past lives I can pick up with.
Really?
Yeah, you were Greek and you're a Roman.
And two previous lives.
Huh?
And these two lives, I was able to communicate with them?
Yeah, you see, the one thing I forget the most is the Roman. You were actually a Roman soldier, and you're a person that kind of blended in with your surroundings, because you didn't really want to be like somebody that's very popular, because you're just not that kind of a person. You had your beliefs. You talked to your angels. From what I get the impression of, they saved your life at least twice, just by listening. And it seemed like that you would also do the same thing for people, for friends that around you, just by, you know, certain things that would come to you, just basically keep them out of harm's way. When you were Greek, you listened, So you had a tough time putting into play. You seem like you were influenced quite a bit by the Senate. So, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, look, it's like take a look at your life and go, okay, you have these two previous lifetimes that you know of for a fact. This, they would definitely reflect in your life of certain things that you do that would help you recall even more memories with that, but also would help you connect with your angels to communicate again and start listening, because it seems like you've actually missed two opportunities here recently because of you didn't listen. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you?
Well, when you mean miss, do you mean like they tried to contact me and I just didn't hear them, or I wasn't mentally prepared? Like, what do you
no.
mean exactly?
Gabriel, this is what I picked up exactly. You heard and you knew you should have, but you didn't go through. It's almost like you were doubting yourself.
You heard that.
So the communication's there. It's just the idea. It's like, well, I had to do the same thing, where I had to start meditating more in the mornings and start looking for ways to help me focus, because I started noticing that I had always been hearing them. I just wasn't doing what they were saying. And there was something about, you know, it's like certain things that I wasn't ready to give up at the time. And so finally when I came to a point, you know, it's like opportunities. I still believe, like everybody else does too, in those situations, that opportunities come. And if you miss them, you don't miss them. They just come back around. Just don't miss it the second time it comes around, because it's going to be very, very in your face. You can't dispute it.
Okay, yeah, I think maybe just the frustration has been getting in my way. But I did, actually very recently, there was a time where I felt them. I felt them touching me and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel them when they come around me. I always feel them. But I do have a hard time, like, hearing, paying attention. But I did just recently hear, like, a ringing in my ear. But it wasn't the normal. It wasn't a normal ringing. It was. I knew it was them. I knew it was. And I told them. I said, "I can hear you. You know, just, you know, please, you know, keep trying as much as I'm trying. You know." And so I think that maybe have been one of the times.
No. That's the way you're supposed to do it. You know, sometimes if you don't listen, you just pay attention to the times you didn't. Therefore, it helps you recognize. And again, and then you can sit back and go, okay, we know what's up this time, and then we just follow through. Because I know for a fact I've had the same problems myself, where you sit there and you look at certain things and go, gosh, I knew I should have done that. So therefore, you was listening, you just didn't follow through. So now it's time to follow through. Okay.
All right. Thanks for, you know, that's amazing about the past lives, you know. I kind of had a feeling, because when I came into this life, I felt that I had a connection right away. But I think maybe I was anxiety-ridden, that I may have kind of pushed it away a little. And I think that's kind of why I feel frustrated now, because I feel like maybe I caused them to go away or something, you know. But I did. I do believe that I had an experience with them when I was little. I have got signs. I mean, I've asked them one time, can you please, when I was looking for their name, I said, can you please give me your name? And the next day, every single place that I went, the person I ran into had named Angel, which I think was completely amazing. I mean, they even had a name tag. The name tag was the same. It had the same direction, decoration around the name tag. I mean, like, it was completely amazing. That was one of the first big moments that, you know. But when I was little, I actually think that I met one. I seen one. But, okay, thanks. That means a lot to me. That was
problem.
Good. I needed to hear that, you know.
Well, if you ever like to get a private reading, just do, you know, my number's on there. It's 937-838-6337. And I do have a tendency to do a couple here and there, where we just kind of like have people call in and just answer questions.
Okay, what was that again, the number?
The number is 937-838-6337. 337.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thanks.
No problem. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for
taking it. Let's go on to our next call. You're welcome. Let's go on to our next caller. 561 area code. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. What's your name?
My name is Stefan.
Stefan?
Yes, Stefan. I'm just curious on what the angels have to say regarding, like, maybe my career, stuff like that.
So basically what you're saying is the big thing you'd like to see is a change in your career. At least a change in things that are going on around that area. Because that's one thing I keep getting the most, I guess you would say, is messages. I keep hearing this thing over and over again. Time for change. What do you do?
I'm not sales.
You're in sales?
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing over and over, it's need time for a change, but I also keep getting this impression you need to get in touch with yourself as well. Like, it's almost like you get the impression that you're a salesperson, but you don't really believe in what you're selling. Because it's not like a piece of you or a part of you. You seem to be able to really present yourself if it's something you really believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the impression you should definitely change that whole format. Even the idea of when you think sales. The biggest thing I keep getting is writing.
What'd you say?
The biggest thing I keep picking up on is writing.
Writing?
Mm-hmm.
The
biggest thing I would say the more I keep getting on that is short stories.
Mm-hmm.
I keep seeing you more of a person with this. I keep seeing you working with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, sometimes I tell people things. Like I say, all I can do is tell you what I see. And I've had a lot of people tell me just because they don't write or never painted or never drawn a day in their life doesn't mean they can't. And the reason we're all looking for changes in our lives. So we have to sit and look at that whole format and go, maybe you should think about that and give it a chance. Because it seems like you're very talented with your hands as well. I mean, you could pretty much, I mean, shoot. Like I said before, the biggest thing I picked up mostly was with writing, but I also kept on getting up, like a painter would do it. I keep getting strokes, painting, something like that. That's kind of an intense thing because it just kind of flows, too. It just seems like it would be something very good for you.
Well, if I could, I can't even draw a stick figure.
Yeah, but see, the point is people have a tendency to focus on stick figures and try to draw a stick figure and can't draw it. I mean, I'm a person who can't reproduce things.
Right.
But when it comes to art itself, of expression, totally different story. You know, I'm not a copy machine. So it has to be something I'm passionate about. And that's the whole thing with your life. It's being passionate. It seems like a lot of things I pick up with your life right now, you're just not happy with. And the one, it's like, and then like what you said before,
well,
that message for me.
Well, you're close with the art form. I'm a musician, but I don't paint.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes the situation I pick up on, it could be simply an outlet, something to try. I mean, I've told people before in some of the readings I've done for people, I know a guy for a fact who never painted a day in his life. He was actually a comedian his whole life. And now he's painting for the first time and selling paintings well over $40,000 a shot. So, you know, it's one of those things of we're all looking for a pickup in our lives so we can feel like we're being more successful when sometimes we have a tendency to be closed-minded to something as simple as that. I'm just saying.
Sure.
One of the things to look into, because it seems like one thing I keep picking up on, it just seems like right now with what you're going through, and I don't, like I said, I don't know what you're going through. You say you're a salesman, but it just seems like you're coming to a point right now where I can see a brick wall, where it's definitely going to come to a halt, where you're going to have to make a decision one way or the other to either go away from that or to try to go through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And these are like these are certain little things to say, okay, go around or go over. Use your imagination. How can you get through it? And just these little things keep popping up. Writing's another one. Writing seems like you're a very creative writer. It's just something that if you never tried, something you should sit down and do. Okay?
Okay.
Because you're saying messages, and the angels keep saying change is the big thing, change. And listen to yourself. So it's like go inwards. If you don't meditate, I'd recommend meditating and going out and finding anything, any kind of books you could on angels and helping yourself to communicate better. Because I find out with what I teach, I can teach anything in the book. But until you sit there and start doing it on your own and try to find your own avenue to get there, it seems like it works better for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Try to get a John Randolph Price book. You've got Angels Within Us.
Okay. Yeah, I try to meditate, but I don't seem like I get much results. Just feels like
meditation.
I'm just sitting quiet.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. It's what it is. Sometimes we have a problem with the world itself because we're so caught up in the world. Keep going, going, going. It's kind of hard to slow down for a second just to let things go.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to get there, too. I'm just saying, sometimes with situations like when I was reading John Randolph's books, like I said, The Angels Within Us, it just helps you to connect with your angels that are on the inner plane that actually govern gateways for, like, success, abundance, spirituality, those things like that. And once you open those gateways, it's a whole lot easier to communicate with somebody to get what you want and even to open your mind. Because meditation for me is one thing that taught me how to do is how to find the solution. And now it's kind of funny. People actually get mad at me because I'm always looking for the solution instead of focusing on the problem. I don't know what the problem is. So I have a tendency to focus on the solution. And then once I find the solution, it seems like everything has a tendency to go forward. And that's where you're at right now. So that's why I keep getting this message from them to go inwards. Because the answer is within you. That's why that book came up. It's kind of funny because it's not the book I'm looking at right now. I was actually looking at his book called Angel Energy, and all of a sudden Angel Within Us came up. So I have to go with that one, saying that's the more important one to get.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay?
Okay. I appreciate it.
No, no problem, man. Thank you. Thank you for your call. Keep in touch and tell me how things go.
Oh, definitely.
All righty? Thank you. Go to the next caller. 610. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if I could ask about my financial situation in the coming, I don't know, with everything going on in the world. Does it look like I'll be able to stay living in the same house?
Well, see, the first thing I pick up before you even said anything is I love your voice. It's a very powerful voice. But at the same time, another thing came in and said she's too concerned about the world. She needs to focus more on herself.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that was very quick before she even said anything. But see, the point is, it's saying focus on yourself. Do not let the world dictate your success because the world has nothing to do with it. You do. And, yeah, you should check in next week. We're going to be doing a show on the Law of Attraction. But no, with your situation about staying in, see, the one thing I get the most is staying in the same house. I get yes. I don't see it going anywhere.
Okay.
But I also have to caution you and say if you don't change the way you think and focus on everything else, and that's the idea of stop watching the news so much.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I don't watch the news, but I do pick up stuff on the internet, so.
Yeah, because some people, I was back up, people said to me before I don't watch the news. Really? I mean, how much time do you spend on the internet, or how much do you listen to radio? Oh, yeah. I said, I'm sure you've heard some commercials or something in there, and it seemed like right now the biggest thing is lawyers and the IRS. So, you know, it might not be 60 minutes or whatever. Even a minute of watching the news has such a bad effect on people. It's kind of crazy. I wish I had a meeting for that to show people, go, look here, you watch the news for 2 minutes. Look at what happened. Now you gotta go meditate for 2 hours.
Wow. Yeah, I might not have counted 2 minutes as that much.
No, seriously. I mean, my mom is one of the worst. I mean, she watches the news 3 times a day. And she throws some. You see, the biggest concept we have is we've been told that we have to keep informed. And I think we've kind of got out of control a little bit of that whole thing of thinking we need to know everything when that's actually deterring us from what we really want. Because we're constantly reminded how come we can't get it. I mean, come on, let's get real about the economy. The economy is based on human beings. So how are we going to fix it? We got to fix us.
Yeah.
Because it's like we're all thinking, oh, shoot. Life, you know, the mass consciousness right now seems to be, things are going to get worse. Well, just the idea of putting your energy there, it's going to, it basically manifests exactly what's going on. Then you sit there and look around at other people who are not being affected by this. If you sit there and watch their lives for any period of time, you'll start noticing that they don't pay attention to that. All they pay attention to is what they want. And there are some out there, I have to admit, there are some out there that are kind of selfish right now, but at the same time, there are other people out there who are being very successful. Oh, you know, so, you know, it's like we all have the same potential for getting exactly what we want. So, therefore, don't let anybody deter it from you. I know there's a lot of things going on in your life right now, but that was the hardest thing I had to learn, too, was to sit there and push those to the side and say, okay, yeah, those things are happening. You know, the rent's got to be, the rent's due, and bills are here, and this and that and the other, and you lost your job. Okay, those are the problems. But we don't know what those are. But we have a bad habit of dwelling on those things. And we should be dwelling on this. What's the issue? Or the, I should say the solution. What is the solution? And I had a boss. I swear to you, I did. I went to my freaking landlord. I come downstairs whistling, and I'm heading out the door, and he's like, he said, let me ask you a question. I said, what? He said, does anything bother you? I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you go out of here whistling every day, and you're just a really happy person. Do you realize you're $250 behind on your rent? I said, yes, I do. I said, yes, I do. And he's like, okay. I looked at him. I said, okay. I said, I'll give you one. I said, what would you let me do? Do you want me to sit and worry about it? Or would you like me to take the energy and find you the money you need? The guy looked at me like, I want you to go find the money. So I said, see, that's what I'm doing. I'm focusing, and I'm out there, but I also believe that in order to find happiness in life, you've got to be happy. Even if it's just using your imagination and smiling every freaking day, even when you're not miserable, sooner or later, you're going to be happy because you like being happy, and then you're going to strive to keep doing that. So therefore, then you're going to start attracting more and more opportunities to be happy, which means all those needs that you wanted and all those things that you think that you want, they're all going to start coming to you because like attracts like. I don't care what anybody says. I've just seen it too many times to deny it anymore. Even to the point of saying the law of attraction to me helped me prove that God does exist. Because it's like I put it out there. Where does it come from? And then I started getting to the point saying, it doesn't really matter where it comes from just as long as I get things. And then I move on. I mean, I've been in situations where people look at me going, hey, how are you going to come up with the money for this and any other? Don't know, but it's going to happen. And I just move on. But I've also noticed some of these people that keep asking me questions are still back there. And it's because they just won't want to give it up. Mm-hmm. And my mom is a prime example of people that talk about it, but are contradictions, where they sit there and go, okay, you should never let fear dictate your life. And then you look at their lives, and that's all it does. They have some good things happening. Don't get me wrong, but it seems like that little bit of fear keeps like a boomerang effect. It keeps pulling them back. I just wish I could help them get rid of the boomerang and just say.
So do you see a big boomerang effect going on for me? Or you were just talking in general?
I see what's happening with your situation. When I tell people I do readings and stuff, listen to everything I say because there are potentials of things that could happen. You know, like the boomerang effect could happen if you, like you said before, every once in a while you listen to the news or you'll just be curious about something. Those curiosities bring you down back a notch and kick you back about 2 feet. If you knock those things out and say, okay, my agenda is, and just focus on those two things, or whatever it is, you'll get those.
Yeah.
But see, the news is something that's already happened. These are things that are already unfolded. You never have to experience them. But what you're doing is you're experiencing the aftermath, which is negative. I mean, I haven't seen too much stuff on the news lately that was positive.
No, I don't watch government news, but the other stuff isn't positive either.
Where are you calling from, if I may ask?
Well, Pennsylvania.
Where?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, okay.
Are
you close to Philadelphia?
Yeah, near there, yeah.
Okay. No, the reason I was asking was I was getting the that bell tower in my head. For some reason, I had to ask.
You were seeing a bell tower.
Well, it's where the it's that thing. If you ever saw that movie with Nicolas Cage in it.
Oh yeah.
National
oh,
Treasure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The church.
Yeah,
where
he's up on top of the building. Yeah, he's on top of the building in Philadelphia.
Okay. Right.
That,
yep.
For some reason, I got that picture in my head, and I was like,
"Well, you're right."
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, the one thing, that, like I said before, people ask me about messages, the one I get the most is go forward and watch yourself. When you catch yourself doing something that you know that you shouldn't be doing or it's not part of the agenda, stop right then and there and stop it. It's the same thing with relationships, too. I don't know what your relationship and your situation in your life right now is, but it seems like it's a big caution, too.
Mm.
Watch and take what you see for what it is. And don't second guess yourself. Do you plan on changing jobs? Or is it a decision that you wanted?
Am I changing jobs? I sort of. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a decision. I keep getting this thing going back and forth saying, I want to do this, but then again, I want to do this. And it's like a decision. What should I do?
Yeah.
You're not ready to give up. It's like security. Something's security to go with something that doesn't feel secure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, my husband of 27 years moved out in January, and I worked for 10 years at IBM, then I've been a stay-at-home mother for like 18 years, so I don't think I can
mm-hmm.
go back to that type of job because I've been out of it so long, and I don't even know if I'd want
mm-hmm.
to. And there are a bunch of other possibilities I'm looking into, but the primary thing is the investment in time of me allowing us to move around the world for his job. So as long as we make arrangements and as long as he stays working, then I should have money. But I still want to have something that I do, too, in the world,
mm-hmm.
my expression, my... And so I have a bunch of things I'm thinking of, and I just, you know, I don't know, should I go back to school for counseling? I have a couple herbal products I invented. Should I, you know, follow through on those? And it seems like I start thinking about them, and then I get, like, so tired. I'm like, I can't do anything.
No, see, the biggest thing I pick up on the most of those situations is it's like they're all... I'm trying to put this in the right word because I feel like they all should be pursued, not just one. So you're trying to figure out which one you should pursue.
Pursue them
like, all. Oh, I got these herbal things over here where you can still do that. Counseling. Counseling seems to be something that a lot more people should have listened to you, so it's like you're very natural at that anyway. Schooling would just give you credibility, which I think you already do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like the herbal thing. I felt like that could be something really beneficial to where you could actually do more insightful counseling. Does that make sense?
You mean if I did the herbal products, I'd be able to give more insightful counseling?
Yeah, because it's like I've always been striving to look for something that's financially beneficial for me.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I could actually focus on just doing readings.
I see what you mean. It would free you up, too.
Yeah, it would free you up and do, you know, you're sitting out there, you got a product selling for you. I'm pretty sure that it'd be, that for me anyway, when something like that, pursuing that, it would definitely find somebody that you could trust. But I always feel like there's somebody else in the picture of this whole thing going on.
You see
Are you still married?
Yes, actually, yes.
Well, I'm kind of figuring, the reason I ask the question is because when I look at it, it's like the way his attitude is, almost like he's not married.
Yeah, in his mind.
He's what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, in his mind, sure.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, because when you pick up that one, I'm going to know that you're going in. It's like you are very, I don't know if you're, I want to say that, because I keep getting the same attitude I would have, I guess, where it's, you like marriage, but you don't like the person you were with. Does that make sense?
Well, I think I liked who I thought he was, but after what happened, I realized, oh, my God, I think I've been dreaming, and he's not who I thought he was.
Right. I'm just saying, but in particular, you have nothing against marriage. It's just that you understand it's the guy that you're with was the problem.
Well, actually, I think I'm having trouble even understanding that. I keep thinking, oh, he just had a hard time. He's going to wake up, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, well, I'm just saying. He's going to wake up one of these days. I have the same problem with the situation when I'm sitting there going, someone asked me the same thing. You know, you got your girlfriend out here, this fiance you want to be back with. And they said, well, how come you would want to get married again? Why would you want to do that? I said, well, first of all, when I was married the first time, I never had a problem with marriage. It was the person I was married to. Marriage is something I created, which she didn't want to do. Okay? So therefore, if it failed, it's my fault as much as hers. But at the same time, as people call it, it's an institution. Even if you call it a piece of paper, how can you blame that? Because it doesn't breathe. So I was like, I'm so bad. I said, I love being married. It's just the person I was with I didn't like. So I definitely want to get married again. But marriage had nothing to do with it. And when I get married with somebody, I, as a counselor myself, I do relationship counseling. And I tell people all the time, what makes a relationship is the two people in it. So therefore, it's kind of hard to look at yourself sometimes and go, okay, what did I do that I should have did? When it could have been something that you knew of, okay, and didn't walk away from. I'm just saying, whatever situation, whatever problem it was, I'm not saying the idea of the whole him, because you have nothing to do with who he is. You see what I'm saying?
No.
That makes sense.
No, we have four teenagers, and so I wouldn't have walked away. I wouldn't have walked away, ever. Yeah, he's the one that did that.
No, I'm saying sometimes a situation, when you look back on him, there's things that dawn on you, and you say, well, maybe I should have left him.
Exactly.
I realized I left myself.
I left myself like 18 years ago. So.
Because that's the biggest thing I teach, especially when I do counseling, is when I don't know if you call it teaching or just bring it up and bring it out and say, okay, when you get married, you don't give up who you are. You just take that person who you are and you blend it with the other person.
And that's easy to do as long as you don't have kids. The problem is when there's kids, and then there's some choices that have to be made, and you know, just things. Well,
mm-hmm.
And also he's pretty good salesman, and he just kind of tricks me. That's kind of how he does things.
Okay. So you have kids together? I thought you were saying you have kids together. You had kids going into it.
No. Oh, we had kids after we were married.
Okay.
So that's what I was saying. The problem is, I mean, that's easy to do when you don't have kids, to just hold on to yourself. But once the kids come, I mean, it's just not. I had the... Anyway, it's not easy to do with kids.
No.
Kids really are a monkey wrench in that equation, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to disagree with you on the whole thing. I'm just saying, from my point of view, my biggest thing is never give yourself, because in the process of teaching your kids, what are you passing on?
Yeah. Do you have kids?
Yes, I have two of them. I have two daughters.
Oh, you do? Okay. Because...
Sometimes can, you know, the idea of passing who you are onto somebody else can actually backfire in your face when you have someone yelling at you and saying, why'd you come up with that? And you're, my mom's behind me all the time, you know, like, she's just like you. So I'm like, oh, that's why I recognize it, yeah. Okay. I'm just saying. But, I mean, both my daughters, I've been pretty advocate about saying, okay, this is who I am. When you get to a point where you can make decisions for your life, I want you to do the same thing. I don't know what, maybe I was so hard on them because they were women. Because I didn't want them to make the same mistakes of just latching on to somebody just for the sake of being with someone.
Oh, gosh. I didn't think I was doing that, but I must have.
I'm just saying, with the situation
I can't believe I'm in a typical woman's problem.
Yeah, but you also got to look at your environment, what you're raised in, too. So, you know, you have a tendency to pick things up. Like I was saying, that's what I was saying before. When I got the message from the angels, it's like when you start basically... seeing those things and understanding, okay, oh, shoot, that, you know, I did do that. Just tell yourself, we all make mistakes. You found it. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep repeating it, or are you going to change the next time it comes around?
Oh, hmm.
So try that. I'm just saying, your angels, you know, the biggest thing today I feel on the show today with the angels and all the messages I'm getting is change.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking for a change, but we're all kind of consumed with a lot of things that are going on. Because people are sitting there going, well, I don't really pay attention to what's going on out there. But they sure know about the economy. So I'm sitting there going, well, how would you know that? Unless you are an economical psychic who just knows what's going on. I don't know. But I told them, I was like, forget that. That's no big deal. It really isn't. I mean, the biggest thing, this might sound crazy. on how I learned that, but it was back a long time ago. I was working for selling Kirby vacuum cleaners, and I was just sitting there going, my boss looked at me and says, do you realize that when the depression was going on, it was still out of a place that, say, that a society was like 50,000 people. There was still 15% in there that had money. So to sit there and go to people's houses who can't buy nothing, you're only fooling yourself. To go to the houses that you know, that 15%, and deal there. So therefore, if you keep going down the same path of going with the same type of person, it's just the idea of stopping yourself one day and going, am I really doing that? And then just stopping it and then going after this one that you really want. I mean, I feel like you're a person who knows what kind of person you'd love to be with.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready to do anything yet.
And that's a good thing, too, to also be, because so many people just think they have to go back out there and jump on the horse. I'm like, this is not like, you know, losing a job or something. This is totally different.
Oh, yeah, I got this enough on my plate. I can't deal with another monkey.
Yeah, well, I'm saying if you do get into a situation like that and you do get another relationship, it's going to be something that's going to add to your life in a positive way where it's going to be more or less stressful.
Yeah,
right,
that
now,
would
not,
be great.
But you're not seeing anybody like that right now, is what I'm saying.
No.
So pay attention to yourself and go and stick to your guns and say what you just said right now. I'm not ready for this, so therefore I don't do that. But see, but changing has to do with you, so therefore I look at that. And my biggest thing I keep picking up with them is looking at your own talents. You said you have these herbal soaps, did you say they were?
It's not a soap. There's a like an all-natural deodorant and a bath product and another product.
I would really put a lot of energy into that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I also feel like with when I sit here and said you're a natural counselor, you just seem like when people ask you questions about things, you just seem to know what the answers are. So relax.
Yeah.
And just give it.
Yeah.
Because I just tell people what you got to tell them, man. Because I mean, to be honest with you, being like with medium work, I've given messages in the strangest places. I was working a couple of years ago. I was working to make some extra money at a freaking. We were selling those ATT security systems, and I was at a conference table one day, in a conference meeting, and I was prompted by my angels to send a message to a girl across the table who I had just met 5 minutes earlier. So you know, if you
and you were doing that
there,
in your head, not out loud, right?
No. I was arguing with my angel. And actually what happened was it was her grandmother who came to me and said, you need to tell her about her boyfriend because she needs to rethink that. I said, no, I'm not going to do it right now. And she goes, no, you're going to do it right now. I said, no, I'm not going to do it right now because, I mean, this is kind of a weird situation. And that for the third, and see, when things come to me for the third time, it's time to pass on the message. So I passed. I looked at this lady, I remember this, I said, this might sound weird, and I hope you take it the right way, but your grandmother's not too happy with you right now, that boyfriend of yours. And she's like, what? Yeah. And she goes, what's grandmother? Your dad's mom. And she goes, that's kind of funny. Dad called me this morning, so we need to talk. So it was just kind of funny when that message was passed on. Next thing you know, you got two people got together, they discussed it, and there was some things going on. But her biggest thing was she was in love with the guy. And I told her, great, we're not talking about how you feel. We're talking about what's conspiring on the other side, that you need to open your eyes and say, okay, you're tired of going into bad relationships? Then start listening instead of just saying, well, I'm in love with the guy and just let things go. Sacrifices are sacrifices, but not that much to the point where you sacrifice yourself before you even get into it. So
yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I'm wondering, so is that what's going on here? Is there something I need to know about the other side, like about not the other side of the veil, I mean the other side of the relationship
yeah, with your husband. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the situation seems like it needs to be really examined to the point where you see separation of saying, okay, this guy is just has his own attitude about a lot of things to the point where it's just doing a lot of destructive things to the family itself.
He is, yes.
So it's like you need to separate all that stuff from the whole situation. Not because you have to understand it. It's just the idea you know it's happening.
Okay, so there's nothing,
so
there, like I keep thinking it'll improve. There's not much hope of that?
The way of You're right. It's one of those things. It's hard to do sometimes, but that's just the way it is. I mean, it's hard to think for it. I mean, I've done the same to myself. I mean, my ex-fiance was a scary situation where I just thought for sure, you know, do a lot of praying, a lot of meditation, a lot of focusing on things that were happening. She would see what she had and not want to give it up. And not realizing that was actually maybe the problem. Too much reality, too much realism for her, where she was wanting to live fantasy. So the only thing you can do in a situation like that is go, well, I got to just let it go. And that's the biggest problem here, too, I guess. I don't want to use the word problem. What I'm saying here is...
Situation.
Situation is, you know, just see for what it is. Because a lot of times we have a tendency, and I think we might take care of it, it's like too much attachment. Thinking we hang on to it, and it's going to change, not realizing it's going to change quicker if we let go of it.
Yeah.
Just let it go where it goes. Because you have, I don't know, I just don't like your husband.
Well, not now, no. He's like gone off the deep end here.
Yeah, so I was sort of looking at the whole thing going, that's just freaking weird.
It is.
And,
Well, I had to bring him back. He tried to walk out. He tried to, I mean, it was a pretty dark time, and a lot of people are walk-ins now, and I had to, keep going, you know, it's like a two-year-old running the road. I had to keep going back in and getting him back out. But
mm-hmm.
I think he's fairly stable, but just not adult yet.
Yeah, but yes, I mean, the biggest problem I have with a friend of mine in Tennessee, every time she has a situation with a relationship, if it doesn't work out, she goes back to the previous one. And I was trying to get her to go, no, we don't go backwards. We're supposed to go forward.
Oh. So I think too much about the past. I should be going forward.
Well,
yeah, I guess.
Well, I'm just saying, sometimes we have a tendency to focus when we're wanting something back. We have a tendency to have to focus on the right way. We're not focusing on a solution. We're focusing on getting back what we had, not realizing we can't have that back.
Right.
We can have maybe even have that person back, but in a different situation, because you can't have what you already had. You can't live what you already had. Does that make sense? You can't live what you already had. I mean, it's like focusing on empty space. If you keep focusing on empty space, you know, that's all you're going to get. If you start focusing on, okay, I want this person back in a better way.
Oh, yeah, that's what I would want.
Yeah, so we can have everything the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So I guess I'll have to tune in next week, you said, for the Law of Attraction one.
Well, not really. I mean, we sit there and got the show. It's called Angels and More. So, I mean if today is open for whatever it is. I mean, my biggest thing was before The Secret came out and for all this stuff started coming out, I was already basically teaching and talking about this thing that we attract who we are. Because I just, from what I had noticed with people, it seems like if you listen to them talk, the people that were always negative always seem to have negative things happening to them. The person that was always constantly saying, I don't like drama. I hate drama, but they were focusing on the drama thing.
I can tell you're from California then, right?
Huh?
You're from California then, right?
No, I've been to California. I had to run away.
You're not from California?
No, I'm actually from Ohio, which is the second. To me personally, from my living in Ohio, I think it's the most dramatic state in the union.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't go as far as California, but then again, I never lived. I have some friends that live in California, and it seems like there are some similarities. But if you also go to Florida, it was kind of funny how dramatic Florida is. But then I started realizing there's a lot of people from California and Ohio there.
Well, I just thought that early recognition of the Law of Attraction. A lot of people kind of were raised on it in California. That's what.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought you might have been from there. But anyway.
I actually want to do a show on the Law of Attraction, and metaphysical people who are the ones who teach it seem to be the ones who have the most problem with it, because they're always saying, I had a friend of mine who did it all the time. I can manifest anything I want. I said, yeah, look at that freaking crazy life of yours. No, I didn't do that. So it was like a contradiction.
That freaking crazy what? I didn't hear it. The freaking crazy what?
He would sit there and say,
He could manifest anything
he wanted. But then his life was so chaotic, and I said, yeah. I said, once you stop creating this chaotic life, well, I didn't do that. It was somebody else's fault. And I was like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? He just kind of, like, contradicted the whole freaking thing.
Well, it's kind of sneaky, you know, when other motivations come in, because I saw in Philadelphia James Arthur Ray before 6 months before his recent trauma in Sedona. And I could tell right away he's heading for another. He would talk about how he fell in the past because of pride. And it was just, like, so huge. I was like, he's heading for another fall. And I was telling someone about 2 weeks before it did happen. Because you could just feel the energy coming off. Like, this isn't good. You know, everybody rush to the back of the room. Pay $5,000. Everybody rush to the back of the room and get the three sets we have for $60. And, yeah, so it was just didn't feel good. So, yeah, but because it sneaks in, there's other, you know, you're never done, right? At least it seems that way. Unless maybe you can just declare yourself done. I'm done. I'm out of it.
Well, it's one of those things of saying I'm done with that situation, but now it's time to move on to another. You never want to give up, period, on everything.
Yeah.
But I was sitting there going over the whole thing about life in general, and people are looking at me like I'm crazy. But things can change that easy. And I said, no, they can. It's just you have to sit there and be, I don't know, that's just the idea. You got to believe it, too. You can't sit there and go, I don't know what you're talking about. I think a lot of people do know what you're talking about, but for some reason, it's too easy. I guess everyone wants a complication. I don't understand why.
It's too, well, and that takes discipline. Maybe discipline's easy for you, too.
No, it didn't come easy for me. I mean, I'll be honest with people. I mean, shoot, I've been doing psychic readings and all that kind of stuff for probably over 20 years. Since I was probably doing things, I guess, since I was 10. It wasn't until recently when I was in, about 5 or 6 years ago, I lived in Colorado. But in a place called Manitou Springs, which is also located in a vortex of energy. And, I was telling everybody, it seemed like the law of attraction worked there too, just quick. If you're focusing on nothing but positive things, they happen very quickly for you. I mean, I would have situations where I would ask somebody, I said, you ever done something and it happened in 5 minutes? And they go, no, it usually takes some time. And I said, really? I said, I was just down there waiting for the bus. I've done this like 5 or 6 times. I got tired of waiting for the bus. I would just kind of like do a little simple prayer to God and say, hey, you know, this might sound like I'm being lazy or something, but could you have somebody come by and pick me up, take me home? Because I don't want to sit here anymore. And I said, 5 minutes later, someone pulled up and said, hey, dude, haven't seen you in a while. Want you to ride home? And they took me home. And they were like, no, it didn't happen, did it? I said, yeah, it did. And I said, I freaked out because it happened so freaking quick. And then it happens all the time. And it seemed like since I moved to Manitou Springs, it seemed like everything I want, I get so freaking quick. And I said, and I started studying vortexes. And vortexes are energy. It's like the yin and the yang. If you look down on it, energy-wise, like a tornado, you have all this, you know, positive and negative energy coming into the same spot, like a tornado.
Yeah.
So it's very crazy, but it's also it's a very, very good place to learn things of how fast. If you're focusing on success, it happens very quickly. If you're a person who says, no, my life sucks, it will happen quickly. Because there were so many different types of people there. It was kind of crazy. I sat there and saw a couple of people that were just, every time they would say something bad, their life would get worse. And they go, how come this keeps happening to me? Then I saw this one couple come up there in a van. And that's all they had. They had a van and some money and came to Manitou Springs because they heard about it and they just wanted to come there. And then next thing I know, they went from living in the van, both had jobs, houses, and it just boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
That's what happened to me too. I mean, I was in a bad situation with somebody. Once I made the decision to get out of that situation, I was put into, I was just walking on the road and needed a place to stay, and I went to this hotel. And this hotel, I was talking to my guides, and I was like, my angels were sitting there going, go into the hotel room. I'm sitting there going, yeah, but I don't have any money. They go, what are miracles? They go, miracles are what are things that defy reality.
Why? What happened when you walked in? They gave you a room in exchange for some handyman work or something?
Yeah, I walk in there, and my angels go, tell the lady about the woman who did all this stuff to you. So therefore, when you get into the situation, she'll know where you're coming from. I said, yeah, but that might. I was thinking, if I tell her that, then she won't want to give me a room.
She won't want to give you a job. Yeah.
Yeah, she goes, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, yeah, I do. No, you don't. Now, you said you wouldn't go argue with this. Now here you are arguing with this. I said, oh, yeah, you're right. I guess, okay. Let's just go see what happens. And I said, oh, I got $17 in my pocket. I did have $17. Oh, sure enough, I walk in there and talk to the lady for about an hour and told her what happened to me, thinking she'd be asking me to leave, right? She didn't. She looked at me and she looked me right in the face, was kind of funny, and said, I promised myself I wouldn't do this again. But we'll give you a room. I said, you want my $17? And she goes, no, you need it more than I do. Just make sure you show up here on Friday, because I had a job. And the lady who gave me a job had been letting me stay in her place for a while, too, which was kind of cool, because I was talking to the manager there, and she goes, that's kind of weird. I said, what? She goes, Julie, which is the owner of the hotel, she didn't let anybody stay here. She said, we had a person working here once that even offered to pay for a room, and she said she wouldn't do it. Now she's going to give you one of our cabins? She goes, what's going on? I'm sitting there going, I knew what's going on, but I didn't want to share it at that time. But see what happened. I stayed there for a couple of days. Went down and stayed in a hotel down there. And then the place I really wanted to live at, Manitou Springs, the lady who was managing the hotel, her husband managed this apartment building up in Manitou Springs. And then when I stayed there for a while, I got an opportunity to stay in that apartment building, which was kind of funny too, but I didn't have any money then either. I went to go look at these apartments. So I'm sitting to myself going, I got no money. What am I looking at apartments for? So I'm looking at the apartments, and he walks off and comes back, and he's mad. I'm like, what's wrong here? I'm maintenance man. He got lost again. He's drunk. and he looks at me, and he goes, he must have been psychic too. And he says, you got any money? I said, not really. And he goes, I didn't think so. He said, let me make you an offer. I said, okay, what? He said, the guy was supposed to finish painting this apartment, and this is the apartment you want, 308-11. I love that. I said, yeah, I want this. And the guy goes, okay, you finished painting this apartment, you can move in now. And then the first of the month, if you can come up with $99 for the deposit, we're having a special, so I'll give that to you. He said, will 2 months be enough for you to get on your feet? I was like, yeah. So, and then the process of that, I was sitting there, my landlord, I moved into the building. 2 months later, he's walking around town. And there's a shop that I wanted to rent out to do readings. I was banging my head trying to figure out what to do. I didn't have the money for that either. He comes back one night and said, here's a number. I'm like, what's this for? He goes, well, that shop you wanted to rent out? Yeah. Well, someone else rented it out. I said, well, what are you telling me that for? I was mad. He goes, she's looking for a male reader. Oh.
Wow.
So next thing I was working in that shop. And then a month later, I owned half of it.
Wonderful.
And these are just, what I'm saying, it's like a chain reaction. I made a decision to get away from one crazy woman because I knew it wasn't working out, and I knew I shouldn't have been there, but I wasn't listening. And as soon as I started listening and went the other direction, just like everything unfolded, it put me in a bad place. It also unfolded, it put me in a good place. And it was so great because I was like, okay, this took a year. I'm not going, yeah, but don't look at it as it took forever. Look at it as it fell into place when it was supposed to.
Mm.
So maybe it was supposed to be some things that you were supposed to go over and look at yourself and that kind of stuff. And then you finally got to the point where you said, okay, let's do this.
Mm. Okay.
You know? So I was like, okay, cool. Let's do the whole freaking thing. So we did. And that was my first experience of working with the public. And really, that's the key, you know? That's the one thing I think up with you is you need to work with people one-on-one.
Yeah.
You cannot, and you're right, you can't work for people. And you know, honestly, why should you? You know, I feel like at the same token, yeah, if you have to start at the bottom, you have to start somewhere. But at the same time, if you don't, who says you have to start at the bottom?
Right.
And you already have a lot of plans in your head anyway, the things you want to do. And someone brought this to my attention a long time ago, too, so we're blessed with many gifts, not so we can choose which one we're going to do. It's because we're supposed to use all of them in some ways. So the idea of is just start doing them, and all of a sudden they will come into play, and they'll fall right where they're supposed to.
Okay.
Then you'll start realizing why I'm supposed to do the herbal thing, and I'm supposed to also do counseling for people, and then you're just going to find yourself busy, but at the same time, you also find that your life is going to be balanced out because you feel like you're doing something.
That'd be great.
I mean, yeah, you're a great mother. But you're also a great person to everybody. You just need to get out and express that to somebody. And, you know, given yourself up 11 years ago, or how many, doesn't matter how long you got, a long time ago it was, but you did give it up, and you're still there. It's just the idea of letting it come back out and go, okay, let's do this again.
Yeah. Yep. Create a life.
Yeah, and, you know, it might sound crazy, but once you put yourself into it, I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, shoot, when I was looking and walking up to that freaking door to go to that first hotel room, I'm sitting there going, or even walking up to the lady who owns this hotel, looking for it, even to ask her, you know, I had a hard time with the whole thing.
I think that's really great when you can hear the guidance that strong. That's one of the struggles that I've had, is that I can't. And my husband is really good at hearing guidance. That's why I've kind of relied on him over the years to get the answer to questions
mm-hmm.
like that. Until he fell apart.
Well, what's he doing with it now?
What's that?
And with your husband, I mean, you guys been together for how long?
I couldn't understand that sentence. He what?
How long have you and your husband been together?
27 years. Well, 31, really, if you count the years not married as well. Yeah, a long time. But it's only within the last, 15 years he realized. He was like, I mean, I noticed when we were in college and there was something I didn't particularly want him to know that he kind of knew. And I was like, what is he? To myself, I'm thinking, what is he, psychic or something? Like, yes, he was. And I know we all are, but just some people have easier access to it than others. So right now he that's one of the things he complained about during the breakup, that I, you know, made him use his psychic
mm-hmm.
abilities too much, and he doesn't want to do it anymore. Doesn't want to use his psychic abilities. But he does. He uses it as an executive to make decisions. That's how he's so successful.
Mm-hmm.
Executives do have psychic ability a lot of times to use in that way. Like, you know, I mean, to make decisions like that, walk up to this hotel, not that. Except it's like walk up to this business and sell at this price and push now and pull back now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but still, the same, you know, the same concept you're using there. It's like I told a friend of mine once before when I was looking for jobs. I always looked at myself as a corporation. If my corporation doesn't make any money, then I don't live.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying. You have to sit there and look at the whole thing. That's what I was telling everybody. You need to use your abilities for every part of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And go, hey, this is, you know, because that's his biggest problem. It's like, okay, great. He feels like he has control, more control in business than he does anywhere else. He uses his abilities. He trusts what he sees because it's a format he's been in for a very long time. So when guidance comes to him, he understands it. He can interpret it very quickly.
Yeah.
He just needs to learn how to do that in every aspect of your life, like a lot of us do. People ask him questions about finances and that kind of thing. A lot of people don't like our answers sometimes, but sometimes it's just the simple things. So say, okay, you want to change your finances? So you need to change your outlook. Change you, change your life.
Yeah. Well, actually, he went to a workshop in Sedona and came back with this mantra of
a certain
number of $1 million. And I won't tell the number, but and
mm-hmm.
I think that's where things shifted from there. I think, you know, that's just like with that guy James Arthur Ray. Like a certain element can creep in. I don't know if it's a negative part of our personality surfacing, or if it could be attachments or what. But something creeps in sometimes
mm-hmm.
for people. It's not really them. But
right.
It definitely has an effect on them for a while.
Well, if you need any more help with the situation, give me a call.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The number, what is my number?
It's probably posted, right? In your.
It's 937-838-6337, so.
Okay.
Yeah, give me a call.
All right, thank you.
Work with
All
me,
right.
okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. I'm going to take one more caller. Hello? Hello?
Hello. Hi there.
How are you?
Good. I was just kind of listening there. This is Amy again.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm sorry.
I'm good.
I was talking for a very long time. And everybody out there, if you tune in Friday, it'd be great, because what happened was, for some reason, my internet went down. And so the idea of accessing the switchboard, I just could not get to it. And I was actually talking to her at the same time as answering her questions, trying to find my way back to the internet. And I found out I can actually talk to you a little bit longer after we go up the air, too. So go ahead and just go ahead and say it.
Okay.
Go ahead and
I was just enjoying listening to that, too. I mean, it's great to be able to help somebody like that. And I don't know if the first guy who was, or the first guy I heard anyway, is still listening or not. But when you were talking about writing or painting or something, I kind of get something like, since he said he was talking about how he was musically inclined, that maybe writing music.
Right.
I guess that, you know, would kind of go along with a short story or something flowing. But anyway, that was just
I know. It's crazy, too, because I sit here and talk about this stuff, and I get really nervous about things. And I start, like today, I mean, today I sit here and go, I think I was destined to do this kind of work and destined to do radio, whatever. But there's some days I just go nuts when things start falling apart, where I go, I need someone else to do this. So therefore, I'm always looking for someone else talented for it. And you talk to somebody and say, hey, you're really good at this. And then they don't know that. They don't think they are. They look
right.
at you like you're crazy. And you're like, well, just give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my biggest thing with him was, what you're doing right now is not working.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, start exploring things. And it seemed like you're not looking for that. You're looking for something to fall on your lap. And I'm not saying it can't. I mean, I've had situations where, you know, things have fallen in my lap as well. I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I also trace it back to something that I was focusing on. And then it fell in my lap in a certain way. You know, but I had to sit there and go, okay, like I was telling you before with the woman, I mean, I had to make a conscious choice to get away from a certain woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to stress that with some people who are in relationships who are waiting for things to change. If they're not changing, that means you definitely need to take a look at yourself, because the part of the changing process could be part of you, too. If you're not going to do it, then nothing's going to change in a relationship on either side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with her, I think the biggest problem, and if it is the problem, it might be just the solution itself. I was just making a conscious decision and going, what do I really want to do? Is it really working with this person? I'm not a person who likes to go out and break up relationships, but everybody's always looking for the answer.
Yeah.
Or the solution, and I'm saying, well, maybe the solution that you're looking at, it, maybe you just don't want to look at it realistic. That's what, because the message I got for her was to look at things.
Mm-hmm.
Look at things at the way they're supposed to be looked at and realize what they really are. And just leave it that way. And then, okay, make a decision. And like the guy I was telling before, the biggest thing I saw with him was a big wall. I know he's coming to a big wall. He's going to have to make a decision sooner or later. He can put it off and put it off and put it off. But, if you know, I've seen a lot of people do that. They go, no, I don't have to make a decision. I really don't see what you're saying. But if you look at their life has come to a standstill. So they've come to the wall. They're just refusing to see it. So I told him, this is the time.
You can only...
Yeah. So
okay,
use your imagination and try to figure out how to get over that wall. Go through it. Go under it. Be a musician. Go through it. Yeah,
because you can only hit your head against it so many times before you...
Yeah, but
I guess
there's some people who can still hit their heads until they pass out. I swear they do.
Yeah.
I have to say that, man, but sometimes...
Yeah.
And, so was, and that's one thing I was trying to stress to her, too. I said, you know, one thing she said was, well, it might be easy for you. And even the guy said, when I said about meditation, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. When you're caught up in the real world, that's the biggest thing. I wish I could have got more across, is the idea of when you put yourself in the world and you are of the world, you're caught
mm-hmm.
up in that speed. So you're racing just like everybody else does. Meditation slows things down. It's even been proven by taking up yoga classes for girls who haven't started their periods. It slows the process down.
Huh.
Instead of the period starting like, oh, you know, it's going to start, and doctors are, nah, nah, nah. Actually, yoga slows the system down, slows the body down. It's also been proven that yoga also clears the body of toxins as well, which could be mm-hmm. putting these girls in these situations of, I think he's starting their periods too soon. I mean,
yeah, they
she
say like,
girls.
Yeah, like you said, the ones who have the precocious puberty, they are the ones that they say are laden with the toxins in the environment. So that makes sense that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and scientists keep saying it all the time, over and over again. Girls with big breasts has nothing to do with with the hormones that are in cow's milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I said, I'll come. And I mean, I will give him one thing. There are a couple of girls I've actually talked to who were very well endowed at like 10 and 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I asked them a couple of questions, like, you know, do you drink a lot of milk? And they didn't. So that doesn't mean they're not like a person. They could still be a person who's crazy about cheese, cottage cheese, or yogurt.
Yep, but I've also heard like the like hair products that have, and I can't remember what it is now, but it's like the estrogens that are in plastic.
Mhm.
That also can cause that an early onset of puberty.
One time I got a little too forward. I was in this place up here in Ohio, Burton, Ohio, and I was, and this girl walks up and she's like 16 years old, and I hate to say this, but she just, her body was just the way it looked.
Mm-hmm.
She just looked too perfect to actually have breasts like that and have a body like that. So I come up and said, "Hey, are those real?" and she said, "What do you mean? Are they real?" I said, "Let me ask. I said, let me say one more thing before I go any further with the conversation." I said, "I read an article 2 days ago, well, before I met the girl, that a girl who was 16 years old had breast implants. That's why
I know.
And I have all these things in my head. I see all these things at one time, and I just see people, and then suddenly I just want to ask questions."
I shouldn't say a lot, but I have heard of that where teenagers, you know, for their graduation present, their parents bought them breast implants. And I'm thinking, what type of message is that sending them, or you know, any of their friends? I think that's just
awful. Yeah, what is
it
teaching them? Because I've actually gone out with girls that I wouldn't say were well endowed, but I like the girls.
Yeah, I mean, it's
right.
Really.
And girls are
you
like
know,
it too, man.
Yeah, well, you know, initially attraction is, you know, that's important, but really what's going to keep you in the long run, right, is what who the person is.
That's true. I'm just saying, with the situation, you know, you're right. You hear about all these things that are happening out there. And then people say, "Why are you asking crazy questions like that?" I said, "Well, why don't you go talk to the crazy person and actually had it done?" And then we have to look at it a little differently then.
Right.
Because it wasn't me, man.
Well, when you're speaking... Sorry, go ahead.
No, with the show. I mean, how much did you hear of the show?
I heard probably, I don't know how, I guess from like, I don't know, it was 10 past the hour when I was able to call and I've been out and about, but...
No, I was trying to get some people to have music when I first come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get some input on that, see if any people liked it or not.
Oh, I didn't catch it. What type of music was it? Actually, I like all types of music.
Well, hold on for a sec.
Okay.
I'll actually play it for you. Laptops are great, but sometimes I got to get used to this thing again. No, it ticked me off because I'm sitting there today, and I was, like, freaking out. Because as I was talking to the lady on the phone, what happened was the server got too busy, and next thing I know, my switchboard was off. I couldn't find it, couldn't pick up nothing. I'm like, oh, no. That's not funny.
No, it's not. You know what I was going to tell you about as far as meditating? I've been struggling.
Hold on.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I was just the musical pause.
Yeah. Been struggling to get myself to do it regularly, but I've been able to get into it more lately than I have in a while, and really actually been enjoying the benefits of it. Friday I was kind of like compelled to go down to the ocean. I'm here in New Hampshire, so there's not much coastline, but there is some. And
okay.
I went to a beach that I used to always go to with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And walked along until I got to the point where we always used to sit. And I kind of, you know, I didn't hear her say it, but I kind of felt it that I should... there was a little smoky quartz crystal right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked it up, like I felt like she was telling me to pick it up. Just stuck it in my pocket and continued on my way and went down the beach, decided to meditate in one spot and was focusing on opening up my chakras and just, you know, feeling them. And I actually, for the first time in my life, I feel them spinning, like almost enough that, actually it was enough that I felt like my shirt was being lifted off my body a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very warm. It was just, I don't know, just a really nice, calming, soothing experience. Yeah. When I got home, I didn't realize this when I picked it up, I guess because it was wet. But on one side of it, it looks like there's a cross. I don't know if it's smooth. I can't tell if it's like inside the rock, if it's a clearer spot in the rock. It kind of looks like, depending on how I hold it, it looks like it's either etched in or raised. I can't tell, but then last night I was looking at it again, and on the other side, it looks like somebody with their thumbnail put the letter A on the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess, but I keep hearing from her that she wants me to give it to my son Alex. So, but I'm still holding on to it because
it'll
I just think
on.
It's so neat. What's that?
I said you should definitely pass it on.
Yeah, I should. I'm just kind of, you know, I've asked her to, you know, kind of send me some more along the way. So I'm sure I'll get another one here someday.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's my story.
Okay, here's this music I was telling you about.
Okay.
I'm trying to get rid of this. I have two. Here we go. All right. Here it is. This is what I play at the beginning. Biggest goal. It's not Oprah, but you know. Because it's just an instrumental thing.
Mm-hmm.
Does it actually play this long?
What's that?
The part I like the most is what it is. Into it. Welcome to Second Journey, man. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
You like it, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's a little sharp on the phone. I'm sure it's not like that over the, on mine, but yeah, I like that tone at the end. I don't know. That tone at the end, it kind of reminds me of some of the, tonal frequencies that I've been listening to here and there. I can't think of which one that it reminds me of right now, but
it reminds you of a town.
No, I there's some like tonal frequencies to help raise your vibration. I don't know if you've ever listened to any or not, but
I listen all kinds.
Or they go like with if you can listen to them to cleanse your chakras or whatever.
Uh huh.
Yeah, think of.
No, I actually got a chakra clearing CD.
Yeah?
I got two of them. I used to have three of them. I used to have Billion Virtues. She had this one, it's called an Ancient Atlantean Meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was good. I mean, I lost it. I wish I wouldn't have lost it because it was a good meditation. It went through crystals of clearing up the chakras, connecting with your guides, your angels. And all the same meditation, too, where they would go to certain places and stuff.
Yep. Those have been very neat. I haven't listened to any of hers, but I've been, doing this class that I'm doing, we do a meditation in each class as well, but this last Sunday, I think it was, I was listening to I can't even remember which host on BTR. I just happened to switch over to that because somebody was saying that they were going to be a guest on it, and she did a meditation that you were to meet an ancestor, and I met Joseph of Arimathea. That was, I don't know, just it was just a very nice experience, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I checked out a couple of hers. I had one with a past life regression CD. She had this one. It was I got it on a deal, man. It was actually a bunch of her stuff on CDs. It was like 6 CDs. It was only $21.
Oh.
No, Mom. Okay, no problem, Mom. Thank you. All right. No, it's just the idea of the situation. I thought that was good music because it's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Starts off good as a choir at the bottom. I mean, the first thing I pick up on when I started listening to it was really hits you if you ever actually sang the song, which is you're harmonizing with that one part, gets you right in the diaphragm. Where you breathe and sing and that kind of stuff, and which was good for, I think, that's right around the same place as your solar plexus and your sacral chakra.
So what was the first part again? That again? I didn't catch it. Sorry.
Which part?
You said it was somewhere between the sacral and the somewhere between the solar plexus and the sacral chakra, but I didn't hear what you said before that.
Well, when you hear the last part of the song when they're harmonizing,
yep.
It gets you right down in the stomach, right around the solar plexus and the sacral chakra.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you. It reminded me of one of those tonal frequencies.
Diaphragm.
I couldn't remember which. Maybe that's the region. I don't remember which one. I haven't done it too often. I think just a couple times.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to go over a lot of things myself. Yeah, we're having another show Friday, 6 p.m.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. Hold on.
I'll probably have to come into that one a little bit later too. I'm be dropping my children off with their father at 6 o'clock. So. If he's home then. So.
How old is your children?
How old are they?
Uh huh.
14, 12, 11, and 6.
Combination, huh?
What's that?
So I said that's a wild combination.
Yeah. The first three, I got to tell you, I think I nearly lost it. I was on the edge. They were so close together, but I'm glad. I'm grateful for it anyway. It was an experience. Still an experience.
Yeah, I'm
going
to deal with that. Because I was sitting here talking about people having kids close and that kind of thing. I'm like, wow, that's crazy, man. I don't know how you can deal with it. And because I have two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But one's 25 and one's 17. So there's like 7 or 8 years difference between the two. And they still drive me crazy. So, you know.
Yeah. I can tell you, when I had my youngest one, there was about 7 years between. Actually, there was just over 7 years between me and my oldest. And I got to tell you, all the other kids were in school. It was like having an only child again when they weren't home. I had to actually entertain them. The other ones, I had them so quick, close together, they entertained each other after a while. It wasn't so much work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're having a show Friday, and it's basically life-changing moments. Call in and tell us that one moment that changed your life and made you turn around and go, okay, there's got to be a different way or a better way or just some kind of revelation was saying, okay, what people have been telling me or mine was like, people tell me this, this, and this, but that doesn't seem to pan out. That doesn't seem to make no sense. So it was just like a eureka moment, I don't know, where I just looked at people and say, forget this, I'm not doing this no more. And basically ever since I've been really put in a situation where they call me the black sheep of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But I told a friend of mine once before, it's like, you can sit there and let them call you the black sheep of the family, But still, all they're saying is you're just different because you're not willing to go along with what they call the norm is. Because they were listening and talking. I was telling my friend in Tennessee, and I was planning on going down and seeing her and seeing what would happen with that situation, see if the relationship could come out of it. But before I even started going down there, we planned on going. We'd known each other for a year. I started to go down that way. But something kept on telling me not to go and to pay attention to what was going on, what was, like, conversations and that kind of thing. To watch, to listen to things. So I was sitting there listening. And I just started noticing that she was telling me that, sure, come on down and see where it goes, but you have to leave. You can only stay this weekend. I'm like, okay, that's not kind of a contradiction. How can you come down and stay a weekend? And then you're going to see where it's going to go. And if it does go somewhere, but you still got to go back where you got to go. I'm like, I was telling the lady before, she was saying, it's great that you can listen to yourself like that. And you hear those things and you just follow through with them. Yeah, it is. But at the same time, it's kind of hard to tell other people.
Yeah. Well, I think it's hard, especially when you're, you know, very emotional about it at that time and you can't be as objective.
Well, I sit here and talk to her because, yeah. Well, she asked me a question once. Can you read yourself? Can you read yourself? And I said, well, of course. It's just the idea of getting to a point where you trust yourself. Because we all sit there and say, something told me I shouldn't have done that. So you heard it. You just didn't listen.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there listening to her talk, and I said, oh, by the way, since we're talking about this, I'm not coming down there. And she goes, oh, really? I go, why? I said, well, I feel like the reason I'm not coming down there is because you're just not ready for this. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, to tell you the truth, I'm not going to come down and visit somebody for a weekend and have recreational sex to see if it's going to turn into a relationship or not, because I don't do that.
Yeah.
And then she said, you're right, I don't do that either. No, I don't do that either. I said, okay. But yeah, you sit there and you think to yourself and you go, okay, you're saying the same things I'm saying. But do you really mean them? Because you were, I even told her myself, I said, come on, Regina, let's think about this for a minute. You were planning this thing out. You already had the whole freaking weekend planned out. So to sit there and say, you don't do that, you were, you know, it's like you were trying to go there anyway, so you were thinking it, conceiving in your mind. And I said, my biggest problem is you can't see if a relationship's going to go somewhere in 3 days.
Right. Gosh, no.
And I said, the biggest thing I pick up with you right now is I feel like, because she was always asking me, where do you think this is going to go if you come down here? My answer is, I think it's going to go somewhere. And the only person that's going to put the brakes on is you. And I'm not going to go through that again. I don't like going to situations where people say, let's see where it goes. And they're the first person to put the brakes on because they know where it's going and they're just not ready to change yet. And then we started talking about it. And then she started opening up and saying, well, she's still connected to her ex.
You don't want to invest your emotions in something like that.
Yeah, but the one thing that bugged me the most was to sit there and talk to her and say, Regina, just because I'm not coming down there and they're not going to see where this goes doesn't mean you go backwards. And
right.
So I can't give up on this guy. I have to wait until he comes back. You're not being realistic. You can't wait until he comes back because he's not coming back. If you guys get back together, it's going to be a different Adley and it's going to be a different Regina coming together. It's not the same person. That is what you're focusing on right now. You want that person you had back when he doesn't exist anymore. And she was just like, I understand. Okay, you keep saying you understand, but you still are focusing on you want that man back.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I just can't give up on it. Yes, you can. So I said, that's the one biggest problem I have, and I hate to say this, but all in many years I've been doing this, the hardest people I have to deal with, contend with, is women. Men think they have all the answers, so they're easy to pretty much smooth over, because I tell them flat they don't. But but women have a tendency to go crazy and say, I can't do this, or I can't do that. It's, I don't want to do that. I mean, I have to get to that point and make them realize the reason that your life is the way it is because you don't want to give it up, not because you can't. And so then you should ask yourself, are you addicted to drama? Are you addicted to certain emotions? I saw this movie called What the Bleep Do We Know?
What's that again?
I saw this movie. It's called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Okay.
The movie talks about addictions on a different level. It talks about our body produces a chemical reaction every time we have an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might be addicted to those emotional secretions. Like, you know, when you're depressed, your body just secretes this thing called peptide.
Mm-hmm.
Which your body experiences that emotion. And they were thinking maybe people are addicted to being depressed. You know, what our biggest problem with society is right now, we think medication is going to solve it, when it actually could be taking a person deeper down into depression, or even to a different, if you already have a person who's addicted to something, which is depression, putting a chemical reaction in their body does nothing but really work, it works against
it, it doesn't solve the problem, it just makes your body need it more.
Yeah, so
I was telling
the people on the phone, I was like, hey, look at this. I'm looking at the situation going, this is weird. But people have a tendency to say one thing and do another, which means you should listen to the second part because I think it's actually the truth. And so the first person they told you, oh, I don't do that. Oh, I don't mess around. But there was this one time, and that's the story you should listen to, the one time they did, because it's a contradiction of what they said before, which is a flat-out lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not depressed. I just don't feel good. Okay, great. But, you know, like you said, it'd be great if you get everybody to a point where they would get addicted to being happy.
Mm-hmm.
But giving somebody an antidepressant is just it's just like a Band-Aid. What you need to do is Neosporin. Neosporin, I think.
Yep. Well, I know that's part of what, you know, why I like to, why I've been trying anyway, and I have been having more success lately is getting into the meditation, because I know that, I mean, I don't feel like I'm depressed, but I know that I have been at points in my life, and I feel that when I have been, if I've done the meditation, it certainly, it takes it away. It, you know, resolves whatever it is that's causing that in me
mm-hmm.
to be lifted. And I was thinking when you were talking about smiling even if you're not feeling great or, you know, making yourself be happy. That's been something that I've done for a long time. I remember as a kid, people, if I wasn't smiling, they'd ask me, how come you're so sad? I don't know if it's my eyes, the way I hold my face, but if I'm not smiling, people, even if I'm not sad, people think I'm sad. So that's just been something I do to the point
mm-hmm.
that I have people asking me, so, like, I'll come to work in the morning with a smile on my face. So, what did you do last night, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes me smile even more. It's just laughing at them, you know? I don't know.
No, I sit here and I'll tell you, I was talking to her. She makes me mad because she has a tendency to be, like, you care about somebody, but you don't know how you can get through to them.
Yeah.
That's what I told her. I said, you feel prompted to tell somebody something? Just tell them. Doesn't mean you know, I feel like what's happening is, it's like a lawyer going into a courtroom and saying something in front of the jury he's not supposed to say. And they say, wipe it from the record. You can wipe it from the written record, but you can't take it out of those people's minds.
Right.
So it leaves an impression of somewhat. Maybe they won't deal with it then, but you feel like it's going to have something to do with the final outcome of whatever's going on. And that's what I say. Tell them. That's what I do. Just tell them. I mean, I've given some people some messages from some really crazy places.
Yeah.
Like my next show. My next show, the reason I'm sitting here going, I'm sick of doing, my biggest problem right now is I'm listening to other people's shows and some of the psychics I keep hearing. Well, I just want to go, you're not psychic. You're just basically coming back and, listen to what the person says, and you're just giving them advice. Which is great, but don't sit there and broadcast to the world that you're giving out free readings when all you're doing is giving out free advice.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Some of the shows I've listened to, that seems to be the case, and then other ones are, you know, not too bad, really. I don't know if you've listened to Kestrel at all or not, but he does pretty much he pulls like animal cards, and he reads whatever the card's saying. Sometimes he'll get something, you know, more than what the cards are saying. But it's just a, I don't know. It's a fun time. It's not like this. It's not a heavy type of thing. And personal messages. It's not like he's usually doesn't get something from other people, but it's more of what the animal spirits might have to tell whoever it is that he's pulled the card for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah, like I told you before too. I said, you know, I actually had a person had the cards.
Mm-hmm.
I had the meetings on the cards. But the meetings on the cards are just basically, I mean, I have done this before. I have done readings for people where I feel, I look up the meaning of the card. And what I do is I feel like I let it guide me to which meaning it means.
Mm-hmm.
So, but people have a tendency to look at you and go, okay, you didn't read the whole meaning out of the book. No, I read the meaning of the card, that what it means for you. All those other things in there are just suggestions on what this card could be. What I do, I let myself go, okay, so I'm going to keep pointing this one part out to me that this is the answer. But I don't like doing it that way because, you know, it's just opening up too many freaking conversations that turn into arguments. And people were driving me nuts.
Yeah, I would say anybody that I've talked to about, you know, it doesn't matter what type of card to use, it's more the impression that I have not tried doing cards much myself to know, you know, have a good knowing, but they say it's more the impression you get off of the card than whatever they say the card means. It's more what you feel
and yeah,
than anything else.
Today.
You know?
Today was the biggest thing. People come calling in, and what they're asking for is what kind of messages are coming through from their angels. Now, I'm not trying to be a smart ass about anything, but most of the time those angels, when those answers come through, it's basically they need to start listening themselves because the messages are coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation of certain personal things about their own lives that should be only be between them and their angels, not me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, another crazy
question. Sometimes it's hard to tune in, though, you know? I know.
Yeah, but it's also, I will answer any question anybody asks, but sometimes I've been asked, one girl asked me if her breasts were going to stop growing, or if they were going to start growing. The one girl asked me about her breasts. In the same conversation, she asked me, will she ever have an orgasm? And I'm sitting there going, I said, are you sure you have the right phone number? Are you sure you're not looking for, you know, 1-800-GYNECOLOGIST or something? You know? She goes, no, I'm just looking for your impressions and that kind of thing. And she said, I just feel like you're a very mature person that can talk about this. And I thought about it for a minute. And I said, you know, she's got a point. We are all adults. So how come we can't talk about these things without having some kind of physical thing happen to all of us with some of these dumb dorks out here, some of these guys, even girls, man. When I just worked for a psychic line,
yeah.
I had a 69-year-old woman talking to me up online one night. Oh, I just love your voice. Well, that's great. I told her, she goes, do you have a boyfriend? I mean, girlfriend? I'm like, yes, I have a girlfriend. I didn't at the time, but for the sake of that conversation, I did.
Yeah.
But people were just like doing this kind of crazy stuff and saying, okay, we need to meet. And I just got, and see, the one thing I got really irritated with was people not following through. And then it started dawning on me that a lot of people's problems is not really the situation or the person. It always seemed to come back to them and a decision they made one way or the other. They didn't go or they did go or whatever. They didn't listen to themselves. I got myself into a couple of situations that were just very bad. Of people thinking they know what they want. And maybe it was the ideal. My friend of mine brought this to my attention one time. She goes, you got to stop blaming yourself. She goes, you told these people, this is what I do, this is what I'm going to do, and you follow through and do what you said you were going to do. She goes, if you think about it, they didn't. So why are you blaming yourself?
Right.
Just because it was a bad situation, you got thrown out. I said, well, my mom said, she goes, well, that's your problem right there. She goes, you got to look at your mom. Your mom's been through 3 divorces. She doesn't really have a high regard for men in the first place. So when you get, in a relationship that breaks up, she said, of course the first question that's going to come out of her mouth is, what did you do wrong? Because you're a man. Right. And the man's always been, the woman has always been the main thing to her. So you have to find the source. And she said, I'm here to tell you, from a woman's point of view, you didn't do nothing wrong. You went down there, you told him you cared about him, you told him you loved him, you followed through with the thing, you had all intentions of following through the relationship, and they're the one that threw you out and said, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So put blame where blame belongs. Put it where, you know, put it right there and say, okay, they were the fault. You're right. Maybe you did. Maybe you should have listened to yourself and your intuition that was telling you to get the hell out, and you didn't do it.
Yep. Well, that's, you know, that's the thing, when you're caught mm-hmm. up in it, sometimes it's hard to be objective and be
mm-hmm.
able to pull back. But you can always look back at it later and say, yeah, that was not the right thing.
That's what I was trying to tell her, too. So you've been through some bad situations, so go back and accept those situations for what they was. And you're just asking yourself what I did wrong because you're looking for a place to start. And since you can't figure him out, and you probably never will because you're not living him, so you can't
mm-hmm.
you can't go there. You have to go with yourself. That's the quickest place to find a solution because so you're trying to change your life, not his.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, you are trying to change his life so you can get what you want, but it still goes back to what? It goes back to who we are. And maybe if you change yourself, then he'll see that and follow through, and then you get that change that you want.
Yeah.
I think people go, wow, that was cool. Yeah, but try to get that thing to go and play. That means you have to start doing something right now, not thinking about, well, what if one lady did this to me, and she said, well, he just changed, and it saves me a lot of time. I was like, wow.
Everybody changes. I know that was...
It's funny how she put it, you know?
She
goes, can he change so I can just, like, have what I want right now? I said, well, let's think about this for a minute. If you change is like this. People think, and I've done a lot of study on this one too, where people are talking about, well, how long will it take? Well, as long as it takes. But I think it's also one of those things that once you come to a realization about something, it changes right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
So change could happen in 5 minutes. It's up to you. I mean, if I can sit there and pray to God and say, I want to, someone's taking me up to the bus stop, and it happens in 5 minutes, I think all those old things are like examples he gives me, too,
mm-hmm.
of saying how fast things can change. They can
yep.
change really fast, but it's all up to you. When are you ready to let that faith come through and go, just let it happen? I mean, I just got approved for an apartment in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Now, the biggest thing about, I'm living in Ohio, and I had to spend almost all my freaking money since I've been here, waiting for my bonus, waiting for to get approval from this apartment. And I told my friend Regina this, and she goes, you have any money? She goes, well, what are you going to do now? She goes, you better hope your bonus covers the whole thing. I said, yeah, but listen to you. You're panicking. I'm just sitting here going, I'm just talking to you and asking some questions. So you're supposed to give me your psychic impressions. And she said, I said, I went to Colorado once before, and it didn't cost me nothing. She goes, well, that was then, and this is now. I said, well, okay, I'll come back with you with one more, too. I said, the same energy that created miracles last year and the year before still exists. So it could happen this year as well. Now, they came back and said, you're approved, and I got to come up with 2 months of rent. But I also found out there's no deposit for electric. The other utilities and stuff won't be billed for another month.
That's good.
Plus, I was thinking about if I get in 2 months in advance in the first place, that gives me, what, 2 months to get on my feet, get things going, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So all I got to do now is how do we get to Colorado? Well, maybe we should sit there and go, okay, God and angels, this is what I want. I want to go to Colorado. I want to move into that apartment on the 15th. I want to have all the money I need, not just for the rent, but also for all my needs, you know, take care of myself to be comfortable. And then we let it go into the universe, and then let the universe... Let things fall into place. It happened just like that. Because I was focusing on getting a 3 month rent. What I was focusing on. That was what I told Gina. She goes, you're not going to get it. I said, well, it's kind of funny. The first time I lived out there, I did.
Yep.
So what I do this time, you know? So I'm thinking to myself, everything's still falling into place like it's supposed to. I'm not freaking out over the whole thing. But I'm still going back. And I told her, I said, if I have to, I'll hitchhike back. And she goes, what? I said, yeah, but look at the bright side. When I get there, I'll have a place to live.
Right.
I said,
yeah,
you keep looking at all the negative stuff. Well, mm-hmm. I told her, I said, if you want to, you can contribute to the Psychic Journeyman's travel plan. And she said, I'm about to. She said, I should have done this in the first place. I should have just put you on a bus and sent your butt out there. I said, well, okay. But see, she's done this before. For my birthday last year, I was on the Amazon.com, and Dorian Virtue has these new cards. She has Archangel Raphael cards, Archangel Michael mm-hmm. cards. And then there's this other new deck she's got, too. Answers of the Angels, Healing with the Angel cards. They're a newer deck than the one she had before.
Yep.
And they had a special going on where you get all three decks for, like, $34.
That's good.
She has a tendency to bite off more than she can chew. She said, and she goes, oh, don't worry about that. I'll get that for your birthday. That's what you want for your birthday? Yeah, that's what I want for my birthday. I want those cards. For some reason, I want those cards. Well, every freaking week, it was one excuse after another. After she promised she was going to do it, then she couldn't do it. And I told her that one day, I said, Regina, it's like this. If you can't do this, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to be mad at you. You keep promising me something, and you don't deliver. Yeah, I'm going to get mad. But if you turn around and say, okay, you just realize you can't do it,
mm-hmm.
then spit it out. Just let it go, you know?
Yep.
For a while, she couldn't do that. I think eventually she did come to terms and say, you know, I'm going to get these cards for you. Maybe not now, but I'm going to get these cards for you. That's a different attitude. I said, you got to think about this. You know, I told her, I said, I'm used to rejection. I was married once.
Yeah.
She was like, so I was telling her, I said, see my ex-wife, you understand, I can handle the rejection part. But see, I appreciate people who are more honest and say, just tell me how it is. Or if I ask you to do something and you tell me no, okay, cool. That's how you feel that, and then fine, we're going to do it.
Yeah,
so,
that's something I know I appreciate myself. You know, I understand that life is never black and white, but I do like people to be upfront and just say what it is they can do, what they can't do, what they have done. You know,
mm-hmm.
that is, of course, not everybody's like that. So,
I'm just saying, we talk about spiritual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the idea of telling the truth.
Yeah.
When they sit there and say, tell the truth will set you free, that means there's no expectations. They keep it up. You know, you tell a lie, and then you got to figure it out, and then you got to keep remembering that lie so you won't let you get yourself in trouble when you should have just. But there's a lot of people, like we were talking about when we were working the carnival, that wouldn't turn themselves in because they had a warrant for something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then one guy turned himself in. This one guy said he beat the hell out of this one guy and did all this kind of crazy stuff to him. He went and turned himself in. And the police station said, the exact words were, you're not in our system, so therefore we're not looking for you, so therefore go and leave us alone. So he said, okay, fine. So he left. Came back a little bit later after he, you know, a little bit of time had gone by. And the guy goes, yep, you're in our system now, so we can arrest you. And they took him in. So he said what was so bad about the whole thing was he thought he was looking at it like 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was actually, there was just some people that were already in the system that were just more important. And they basically let him go. And the guy says, you should do that right now because there's a lot of shit going on and all this other stuff going down and stuff. You might walk in there, they might tell you that. They might just drop the whole freaking thing because his biggest problem was he wanted to work, and they told him flat out he needed to go to work. The only job he could find was working for the carnival and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady said, his parole officer said instead of wanting to watch him all the time,
yep,
they just signed him off the paperwork, got him out of the system, and said, well, just let him go. Because basically they didn't want to, you know, they just didn't want to watch him anymore. That's basically what it was. And they said he got to work. The guy is working. And I think some of these people feel kind of weird. They come in there to go in front of the judge, and the judge, and you know, basically they're saying, we want this guy to go back to jail because he wants to go work for the carnival. And the judge is going to say, oh, so what you're saying is, since he wants to have a job and make money, you're going to throw him back in jail because you don't want to do that. because it makes you harder for you. It makes your job harder. And they'll and 10 times they'll kick him off and say, okay, fine, we'll just let him go. Because you don't want to take care of him. What makes me think that you're actually checking this guy in the first place when he is here?
Right. It doesn't really make sense to put somebody back on, you know, so that the state can pay for that rather than just let them work.
Yeah, because that was, you know, it's like looking at the whole situation. It's amazing what people, you know, it's like we think the government's all great and everything, but shoot, someone doesn't do their job one time, what do we have? 9/11.
Yep. Well.
It's like go back to life.
Yeah.
And one more thing. It's one thing that maybe everybody should do. Because look at the dollar bill. The dollar bill doesn't say trust. It didn't say in the dollar bill we trust.
Right.
And so in God we trust.
That's right.
And you also, and everybody wants to worship money. So why don't you just look at it and read that and try to change that a little bit thing around, huh? I'm just saying that people make everything so complicated. No, what it was going to do is, see, next week was just looking to think, well, it's that, actually not next week. This moment, that moment that changed your life, what's that one moment, and what in that moment changed your life?
Well, I think I told you last week about asking for a sign about my marriage, if I should continue or not, and within a couple hours, I got an answer, and that was my ex-husband being physically abusive to me. It still took me a couple days to get him out of the house, but I figured that was a pretty strong answer right there, you know?
Well, you said you listened to that lady talk before you came on?
Yep.
If you listened to her talk, she was basically what she's waiting for to happen is her husband to be what she wants him to be.
Yeah.
And maybe the problem with the situation is, she said he has this psychic ability all the time for business.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also does it for his infidelities, too. That's what I think, anyway, because I was going to listen to her talk. But the first guy was talking about, he was sitting there talking, he remember one time where he was having a conversation with his angels, and he asked the angels what the angels' names were. And he said the whole freaking next day, he would run into these people with name tags. There's certain people with certain name tags with certain names and stuff. And he said he'd come up seeing angels. Angels? I think what he was saying, from what I understand, I think he was saying he'd come up seeing angel everywhere, the name Angel.
Oh.
And when he was sitting there saying it, it reminds me of when I was sitting there going over angels myself. I also read this in Doreen Virtue's book where she said that she had asked angels about names too, and she said the angels told her it wasn't that important of names. Names is a human concept, but we always have to name everything to have some kind of connection with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, angels don't have to have that kind of connection. It's an automatic thing. So names are not important, but we do have names so that you can identify with us. And that's the only importance of having a name. It's for something you can, like what you were talking to your husband, or you're talking to a friend, and you're talking about a particular angel, then you can mention it by name. But he said, in the process of communicating with your angels, you don't say, hey, Bob. You know, it's one of those things of, that's what I like about her book, Healing with the Angels. In the back part of it, it's got angel affirmations in there, where it just says, I am now surrounded by angels. And I've done that. I've actually done those affirmations in the back where I could just feel like everywhere I went, and, you know, something, I always felt a presence around the angels and angels. Even to the point of asking, she's got some really nice prayers in there for financial, to change your financial outlook, to attract more business, for a business, how to find your life purpose, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to tell the guys. I'm telling you to go. I said, it's kind of funny. The book I was holding in my hand was called Angel Energy by John Randolph Price. But for some reason, when I told him the book he should get, what came out of my mouth was The Angels Within Us.
Yeah.
I said, dude, you should go with that book. That's the one that came out of my mouth. That's what I'm going to have to go with here, because I feel like it'd be more important. And with what he was talking about, wanting to communicate with his angels more anyway. The book definitely talks about how to open gateways.
I can't say that I've really, seen when I've done my meditations. I've seen, colors, hands, maybe, mm-hmm. We're doing things. But I've had a few instances lately, even being with my eyes open and whatnot, just, seeing little flashes of light that I understand that is what that is. And, I guess I'm just in the early stages of becoming more aware of it all. So, still a learning process here for me. But I guess it'll always be, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's always more to learn, so.
Well, my biggest thing is I'll go back and start writing certain things, and I even start thinking to myself, I can read about this stuff, I can write about it, but there has to come to a point where it comes to where it's just spontaneous. Boom. And I said, I know for a fact I've actually done that.
Mm-hmm.
But, my biggest problem, my biggest thing with journals I like about, I like to write certain things in my journals, and then when I have a tendency to have a hard time focusing on them, then I'll go back and read them.
Yeah.
And refocus my mind again. But it's like that refocusing thing, and I know for a fact when I stop doing everything, it really makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Negative or positive. But I guess what I was talking about before was all these shows and stuff, and people are getting their opinions across. That's great. But when you actually listen to some of them, I'm trying to figure out what they're doing. I think you asked me too, the format of my show. The format of my show is angels. If you start to think about it, when I started talking about life-changing moments, okay, was it influenced by something that happened? Was it a presence? Was it a drowning? Was it out-of-life body experience?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it an angel encounter? Or was all those above orchestrated by angels to put you in a situation to open your eyes about something? What was it,
Mm-hmm.
That there could be like five shows.
Yep.
And I want to upgrade my show where I can actually do 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I did kind of find this one show kind of odd where this guy was actually asking for donations to keep his show on.
Oh, yeah, that's... I know what you're talking about. I listened to that for a little while, and I think some of the guests he had on were pretty decent, but hearing that, I don't know, it kind of turns my stomach.
Well, I sit and look at certain people and say, okay, with situations, I'm like when the guy calls in, and he's like, I don't like what I'm doing. Basically, I need to change my life. Okay, then change your life. But,
mm-hmm.
And then, like, well, that guy was, he's asking, he can't keep his show on the air. If it is true that he can't keep his show on the air, and he wants to keep that going, and he wants donations, but I can understand that to one point. But what threw me off that one night I was listening to him, he has a lady on there who's a lady psychic,
mm-hmm.
And basically these two people. This is my opinion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So these two people basically sit there and stroke each other's egos. Okay.
Yeah.
Because she's sitting there, he's sitting there, this is a great show, you have, a great thing on, and, generosity is basically when you give of yourself, you're also giving to yourself, which I strongly believe in, if you give, you're going to get something back in return.
Mm-hmm.
You can't reap what you sow, you can't, if you put nothing out, you get nothing back.
Right.
Okay? You get nothing back. And so I understand that concept. But then in the same conversation, okay, he tells everybody how much it costs. It costs about $200, almost $300 a week to keep his show going. But I'm asking myself, what's the problem?
Right.
Go to a temple.
I know when I would hear that, I'd be like, okay, so if you really want to do this, then you know, what are you doing with the rest of your time to make this happen, you know?
Well, one thing that sticks in my mind, too, is when I had my shop in Colorado, there were so many situations that money just dropped in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
Something I just gave it myself, you know, like giving a, one day I want to give a free palm reading.
Mm-hmm.
And the process of giving this free palm reading, to this girl, as I was giving the reading to her, her mother and her uncle showed up. And her uncle was so impressed with what he saw, he paid for hers. He got one, and his sister got one. So I gave something away for free. It turned out to be $65.
Yeah.
You know, so I was constantly telling people, too, money drops my lap all the time. Oh, really? How's that? Well, there's a prime example. Or
yep.
To sit there and have some guy walking in front of your shop for about an hour as you're sitting in the shop working, and you just finally come out and say, okay, dude, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, no, I'm fine. And I said, you sure you're okay, man? If you need someone to talk to, I'll be glad to talk to you. And the guy goes, I got the money. I said, never asked you for any. I said, do you need someone to talk to? And he was just like he was really having a really lifetime crisis thing going on, you know? So
yep.
I asked him again, and I said, you sure you don't need someone to talk to? He said, I told you I got the money. And I said, and I told you, I never asked you for any money, so I'm going to make this easy for you. Why don't you come in and sit down and talk? I don't charge for talking. Just come in and sit down and just talk, man. It's like you need someone to talk to. It's like you're having some family problems. He goes, okay. So he came in and talked to me. We talked for about an hour, maybe 2 hours, okay? This is a guy who told me he didn't have any money, right?
Mm-hmm.
I sat there and talked to him. He was having trouble with his family. He didn't think he was giving enough to his family. All kinds of stuff, you know?
Yep.
Just need someone to bounce it off to. I think he needed more like a venting kind of thing. Do you know, as he walked out the freaking door, the guy turns around and hands me a $20 bill. And I said, I look at these situations, and I said, I never asked for nothing. I just gave something and got something
yep.
back in return. So, you know, people look at me like I'm crazy and say, hey, look at that. That's kind of cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or maybe you're not making enough money because you haven't really declared what you want. And they go, what do you mean by that? I said, hey, guys. So there for a while, it's just I come in the shop and go, okay, maybe I'm not doing it right either. So I just declare what I want to do for today. I want to do 10 readings and make $200. And I said, do you know how many times that happened? And they go, how many? Pretty much every time. I said, there was even a couple of times where I sit and said, 10 readings, $200. That's just too easy, okay? I put that out there. It happens every day. But what you're trying to do is figure, okay, do I have an influence over this? So one day I think I'd gotten kind of like carried away. Or I was just doing some things and forgot to make my resolution for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starting to think to myself, I said, man, it's 6 o'clock, man. I mean, what can I do? And I said, oh, this is a prime example. And I said, okay, what do I want to do before I go home? I said, I like to do 4 readings before I go home. Make, you know, 4 readings, $40. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, lady, and his family walks up, and the lady goes, I have my son and my daughter want to get a reading. Okay, they got their $20. I thought it was kind of cool. They all had their $20 allowances for their travel pay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So they came in. I got the 2 readings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made them $40. And then sitting there going, okay, that's cool. And see, every time I did this, too, I'd always make more than what I thought I would, you know. If I asked for something, I'd always make more.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another prime example of that, too. I'm sitting there, I got my 2 readings, I got my $40, I'm saying, okay, I'm good. And I said, I did declare 4 readings, didn't I? Just as I said that,